Good morning, good people, and welcome to the Pool Proof Wisdom podcast. If I'd chosen a different career path, I could have easily been an anthropologist or a sociologist, probably a combination of the two. People and social structures fascinate me, always have. I suppose that's why, despite my plans to be a doctor when I was in college, a plan I kicked to the curb during my third year, by the way, just before I would have taken the medical college admission test, never came to fruition. I knew I wanted to do something else, something that appealed to my interest in people and society in a different way. Now, it took me a while to figure out what that something was. I tried on all kinds of majors, pre-law, criminal justice, social work, but nothing captured my imagination or interest for long. It was only when I began studying communications and journalism, spurred on by the man I consider to this day my mentor and one of the best humans on the planet, Avis Meyer, that all the light bulbs and bells and whistles that made it clear I'd found my professional calling began to ring. I absorbed my studies. Couldn't get enough when it came to learning about the way we communicate and how we structure those communications along the lines of so many influences. I learned how to become someone who understood how to communicate with feeling while never letting the facts escape me. And I sharpened my already astute observational and listening skills more as a result of diving into what I was learning with both earnestness and enthusiasm. I began as a journalist, then transitioned to become a communications and marketing pro. Now, I'm what people call a veteran communications and marketing executive, which means I've been in the game for quite a while. That's because I found my calling and never found reason to veer from it all these years. I am still as fascinated by people, how we communicate, and how those approaches intersect as ever. My interest remains professional and personal, but also intellectual and instinctual. As someone who is therefore a living, breathing communicator all day, every day, I'm in constant observational and listening mode. People watching is as much an avocation for me as it is a vocation, and I never miss an opportunity to learn everything I can from what I see, hear, and come to understand as a result of constantly being in this mode. As I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this a lot of years, so I have a lot of experience gained from what I do for a living. I've come to understand, for instance, that particularly in America, we drape ourselves in magnificent symbolism to hide what we fear, misunderstand, or disbelieve. I'm not just speaking politics and social structures here. I mean, consider the lives people live online versus in real life. Think about how perfect everything, from images folks post to the experiences they create and share, are. What all the effort really symbolizes is a message they desperately want everyone else to know. And it's this: my life is so great that it's the life you want too. But then, just consider how many people buy into all that and begin to compare their own lives to those they come across online. When there is, however, no reasonable comparison, because none of what you see online is really authentic, it's simply symbolic. Now, while all that symbolic lifestyling is being sold to the masses, the real world is populated with millions of people, many who tell a much different story online, who hate their own lives, other people's lives, and the very idea that anyone else has something they don't or an opportunity they won't. Given this, it's no wonder we are witness to such division, anger, violence. All of this, by the way, is evident at the micro level, long before it manifests at the macro level I'm describing here. We see it when we cross people in supermarkets or walking down the street, or pretty much in any setting where any people congregate. Folks get heated over the slightest perceived slight. They resort to violence because someone looked at them in what they perceive as the wrong way. People use their words and opinions like weapons, bullying the fragile among us who are often pushed so far, so heartlessly, that they conclude ending their life is better than living it. This is happening right now, in real time, across America and around the globe. I see racism, sexism, people who want to control whom people love, who people can choose to be, what people believe, and how people worship. I observe, from my figurative perch, people who are increasingly of the mind that the world owes them something just because they're here, when they aren't putting anything worthy back into the world themselves. In my peripheral vision, I catch constant glimpses of individuals and groups who value capitalism above all else, including human life. How else do you explain how we constantly find it possible to fund war after war, yet say the twin evils of homelessness and hunger cannot be eliminated with the allocation of appropriate resources? What other reason is there that we can use billions of dollars to bail out businesses that have fucked up, but not ensure that all people have access to a healthcare system that provides everyone care, just as nations smaller than America have already done? Those are just some of the questions that arise from listening to what people say while observing what they do, or more often than not, not do, every day. Observing has helped me understand how many in positions of authority and power, from workplaces to pulpits to the legislative floor, don't know what they don't know, or even apparently care they don't. These people pretend they know everything, especially about what's best for everyone else, but the truth is, they care more about holding on to their positions than they do other people. Yet they do care about perception. Perception for such people is currency, and for a world and nation all about symbolism, that currency has a lot of value. As an aside, it occurs to me that the rise of consequence, also known as cancel culture, is a reasonable outcome of this reality. I mean, folks are so over being force-fed, crafted perceptions when they're already aware of what's happening around them, that they've simply revolted and want to punish everyone, even when the suggested punishment doesn't fit the crime. The behavior is a total symptom of the disease of managed perception. A desire to control perception also is the reason behind the now standard practice of saying or doing horrible things, followed by scripted apologies. It's why, in a world in which we are expected to live together, some people, who are only fine with that idea if the rules of living are on their very limited terms, would tell us this. Now, I don't want anyone doing anything I'm uncomfortable with, but I'm not a bad person. No, I'm not a racist or a sexist. I'm not a homophobe, transphobic. I don't discriminate based on religion or otherwise anti anything that aligns with what I believe the world should look like. And don't you dare say anything to the contrary, you liberal elitist you. From my perspective, I say, let's just call a fang and not play the game with the truth in all its obviousness. The truth, after all, is staring them and us right in the face. Do you hear me? Y'all who are still deciding when you'll crawl back under the rocks from which you emerged, we are not accepting any more apologies. Get yourself right and stop trying to reinvent the world and the rest of us who live in it in your twisted image. We are done. The more I observe, the more I tend to struggle with what we humans are doing to ourselves. There are many times when how increasingly horrible people are becoming weighs on me, even as I endeavor to combat all that negativity in very personal ways. But it's no easy task, not these days, not for me, not for anyone. The struggle is real, but it's still a fight we can win. the fire within me and within so many in the world who are still trying to do the right thing and do the good thing and the loving thing is one that compels us to keep going when we feel like giving up. One that has burnished my own iron will built on a solid foundation of faith and that pushes me forward, always forward, always toward the next experience with that one person or group of people who will remind me that despite all that I see, all that is dark and bereft of hope, there is reason to carry on. All is not lost. I am fortunate to know a lot of such people. People whose very existence and good efforts explode the idea that love is losing out because hate seems to be winning. These people are, in a word, everything to me. They help me see what's on the horizon even as I travel this road, cluttered with the debris of human indecency, hatred, and hopelessness. We will get there. Just keep going, they remind me. So I do. I keep stepping, keep moving, I keep believing. I do this every day because doing so beats back any tendency to lose myself to despair or just focus on my damned self at the expense of humanity. Giving up on people, you see, would be the easy thing to do. The thing is, though, I've never been a fan of easy. I don't mind hard work. I prefer it, in fact. Hard work has helped me understand that while easy is nice and all, some things will require hard work, and I'll never be prepared for those things if I don't do the work that will develop the skills I need to handle the tough stuff life is sure to hand me. Through every hardship I've ever known and survived, I've walked away with a real sense of understanding that what I had just gone through strengthened me when it could have so easily weakened and even potentially destroyed me. In fact, every person worth their salt, I've found, has similar experiences and insights. I can honestly say that I've never met a person who hasn't been through some real tough shit in their lives, who understands what it means to be grateful or what it takes to survive. These people emerge from what they've been through bearing the gifts of wisdom and resilience that they then share with everyone. That's why they are of my tribe and I am of theirs. Throughout world history, there have been times when hopelessness seemed to define the future. Times of tremendous upheaval when someone or some group wanted to upend the entire world. Nothing in modern times is new, therefore. The universe has always been in combat with humanity. Ever since we tapped into the gift of free will, we've been showing our asses for ages. As a result, there have been repeated times when innocent lives were lost because of people, politics, and personalities valuing hubris above humanity. We've witnessed the deaths of children, once considered the most innocent among us, with a jaundiced eye, and the murder of people whose only real crime was being born in a skin someone else decided reduced the value of their lives to zero. We have seen love criminalized and penalized, the right to pray made into political napalm, and essential freedoms guaranteed becoming essential freedoms denied. We've seen this in our own lives, and even history, if it were personified, would be said to have grown weary of repeating itself because of us. Indeed, we've got every right to be tired, just not the option. Here's why. The promise that love conquers all among the faithful is unbroken. We know that all those unexplained supernatural occurrences others consider coincidences are really God doing the work, but just being anonymous. We know we're equipped with gifts to uplift, protest, and encourage where others tear down inflict violence, and discourage. We know that everything we are living with and living through is preparing us for a spiritual renewal so wonderful, words cannot possibly describe it. That's real. That is beautiful. And that's why we are here. That's why we are to observe what's happening all around us, so that we are witness to it all when what's promised manifests itself and love begins to rule forevermore. As we move closer and closer to that time, there will always be moments when everything we bear witness to seems and feels overwhelming. But it is in those very moments when we must trust, believe, and act based on what we know to be true in our hearts versus what we see with our eyes. This truth doesn't allow perception or even reality to stand in the way of the work of the Spirit. All that matters, therefore, for those of and among the faithful, is never losing sight of the power of grace, love, faith, hope, and joy in redefining the world we've made such a mess of. Though the noise made by those who subscribe to a different narrative may be louder, and the constant drumbeat of their acts more constantly promoted and therefore seemingly proliferating, there are billions of individual, beautiful acts of love and kindness happening without fanfare every day. When we turn our attention from all the ugliness in the world, constantly vying for our attention, we can see that good is all around us when we allow ourselves to observe it, bask in it, and grow in our certainty because of it. As an observer, giving myself the gift of this truth allows me to see the world with new eyes and an open heart. It allows me ultimately to see the truth.